The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Christy Walters for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Read to Succeed. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you about holidays from around the world. Let's begin with our first book, called There Was a Young Rabbi, A Hanukkah Tale, by Suzanne Wolfe and illustrations by Jeffrey Ebeler. There was a young rabbi who read from the Torah. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi who made latkes so yummy, she fried them in oil, then filled up her tummy. She made latkes so yummy and filled up her tummy, she read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi who made applesauce sweet. She ate it with latkes for a Hanukkah treat. She ate applesauce sweet for a Hanukkah treat. She made latkes yummy and filled up her tummy. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi who made a nice brisket. It's kosher, of course, or she wouldn't risk it. Kosher brisket she made. At least 10 pounds it weighed. She made applesauce sweet for a Hanukkah treat. She made latkes yummy and filled up her tummy. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi who played dreidel to win. She watched it closely as it started to spin. The dreidel, it spun. The rabbi, she won. Kosher brisket she made. At least 10 pounds it weighed. She made applesauce sweet for a Hanukkah treat. She made latkes yummy and filled up her tummy. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi who ate chocolate gelt. So sweet and so tasty, in her mouth did it melt. She ate chocolate gelt. In her mouth it did melt. The dreidel, it spun. The rabbi, she won. Kosher brisket she made. At least 10 pounds it weighed. She made applesauce sweet for a Hanukkah treat. She made latkes yummy and filled up her tummy. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. There was a young rabbi, and for 8 straight nights, she celebrated Hanukkah, the festival of lights. For 8 straight nights, the festival of lights. She ate chocolate gelt. In her mouth, it did melt. The dreidel, it spun. The rabbi, she won. Kosher brisket she made. At least 10 pounds it weighed. She made applesauce sweet for a Hanukkah treat. She made latkes yummy and filled up her tummy. She read from the Torah and lit the menorah. She lit the menorah, as we all know, to remember a miracle from a long time ago. Our next holiday book is called Little Rabbit's Kwanzaa by Donna Washington, illustrated by Shane Evans. And there's a very cute little bunny on the front, and it looks like he's with all of his family and friends celebrating Kwanzaa. Little Rabbit was not having a very good Kwanzaa. being the littlest rabbit in the family wasn't easy. He couldn't remember the names of all the days. He wasn't allowed to light the candles. His brothers and sisters made wonderful gifts to share. Little Rabbit was too embarrassed to share his gifts. He hated being the youngest. He was always in the way, and everyone told him he was too little to help. The only part of Kwanzaa that he really loved was the big feast called Karamu. This year, he wasn't even going to have that. Grandma Rabbit was sick. She lay in bed all day drinking dandelion tea. Mama Rabbit was so busy taking care of her, she didn't have time to cook. "Mama, if Grandma Rabbit is sick, who will make the feast of Karamu?" Little Rabbit asked his mother. "Shame on you, Little Rabbit," his mama said. "Grandma Rabbit is sick, and all you think about is your stomach. You go outside." Little Rabbit hopped out and sat on the big gnarled tree stump. He really wanted to go and talk to Grandma Rabbit. She was very wise. Little Rabbit sat and thought. He thought about all the things his Granna said about Kwanzaa. "Kwanzaa is a special time when we help each other." That's what Grandma Rabbit said. "That's it!" Little Rabbit jumped up and danced around. "I'll bring Grandma Rabbit a special treat for Karamu. That will make her feel better." Little Rabbit hopped down the road. "Where are you going so fast?" Mama Oriole asked Little Rabbit. "I'm going to find a tasty treat for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to have a good Karamu." Little Rabbit hopped away. Mama Oriole didn't know what Karamu was, but she knew Grandma Rabbit. Grandma Rabbit always brought out warm seed cakes and warm pudding when the weather got cold. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Mama Oriole. "I wish there was something I could do to help." Little Rabbit stopped by the side of the path. He looked under some logs to see if he could find something special for Grandma Rabbit.
"What are you doing, Little Rabbit?" asked Groundhog, sticking his head out of a patch of grass.
"I'm trying to find a zawadi for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to feel better." Little Rabbit hopped off.
Groundhog didn't know what a zawadi was, but he knew Grandma Rabbit. She always had time to make little toys for the animals when they were bored.
"Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Groundhog. "I wish there was something I could do to help."
Little Rabbit hopped down to the pond. Maybe he could find something pretty for Grandma Rabbit.
"What are you doing, Little Rabbit?" asked the frogs.
"I'm looking for something pretty for Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. She should have something pretty to hang on the wall at Kwanzaa time."
Little Rabbit scratched an ear and hopped away. The frogs didn't know anything about Kwanzaa time, but they knew Grandma Rabbit. She could paint beautiful pictures and write wonderful poems.
"Poor Grandma Rabbit," said one of the frogs. "I wish there was something we could do to help Rabbit."
Little Rabbit hopped through the field looking for berries.
"Where are you going, Little Rabbit?" Mama Field Mouse asked. She was dragging all of her children behind her. "Grandma Rabbit is sick," said Little Rabbit. "I'm going to make sure she has a good Karamu. I'm going to find as many berries as I can." Little Rabbit looked proud as he hopped through the meadow. Mama Field Mouse didn't know anything about Karamu, but she knew Grandma Rabbit. Grandma Rabbit helped out with the children when Mama Field Mouse had to run errands. "Poor Grandma Rabbit," said Mama Field Mouse. "I wish there was something I could do to help."
Little Rabbit scampered through the trees.
"Good morning, Little Rabbit," said Papa Squirrel. "Why are you sniffing around the trees?"
"I'm looking for something to give Grandma Rabbit. She's sick. I want her to have a good Kwanzaa."
Little Rabbit hopped away. Papa Squirrel didn't know anything about Kwanzaa, but he knew Grandma Rabbit. She always helped him gather nuts in the fall. She even helped him remember where he hid them.
Poor Granny Rabbit, said Papa Squirrel. I wish there was something I could do to help.
Little Rabbit spent the whole day trying to find something for Granny Rabbit. He searched as hard as he could, but he didn't find anything at all. He was very sad. I guess I am too little to do anything. As the sun was setting, he hopped slowly home. When he opened the door, he had a big surprise. Everyone was there. Granny Rabbit was sitting in the big chair with a huge smile on her face. The frogs had brought pink flowers from the lily pads. Mama and Papa Spider hung them from the ceiling like lanterns. Mama Oriole was conducting a fine chorus of birds. Groundhog brought little toys and gifts for everyone. Mama Field Mouse had gotten together with Mama Possum and Mama Raccoon to make a delicious feast. The air was full of excitement. Mama Rabbit served the plates, and Lil Rabbit ate until he thought he would burst. After that, Papa Rabbit told funny stories about Br'er Rabbit, Anansi the Spider, Guinea Fowl, and Mosquito. The stories made everyone laugh. Then Papa Spider plucked on his web strings, Cricket got out his fiddle, and all the animals had a wonderful dance. Granny Rabbit taught everyone a new word. Harambee, she called out as her friends danced. It means let's pull together. We don't need anyone to tell us that, said Papa Squirrel. We already pulled together. Everyone laughed and shouted, Harambee, Harambee, Harambee. When the karamu was over, Lil Rabbit sat with his Granna in the big chair. Why are you so sad, Little Rabbit? His Granna asked. Didn't you have a good time? Yes, Lil Rabbit said quietly. But I wanted to do something special for you. Granny Rabbit just laughed. You silly rabbit, she said, hugging Lil Rabbit tight. If you hadn't gone off looking for karamu this morning, it never would have found its way here tonight. Lil Rabbit frowned. But I'm the only one who didn't have anything to share. His Granny smiled. You shared your dream, Lil Rabbit, and your dream brought all of our friends and neighbors together. That's a big thing. Lil Rabbit felt proud. My dream did all that? Yes. I'm not surprised, though, his Granny said. Why not? Lil Rabbit asked. Because I have faith in you. If you have faith, Lil Rabbit, there's always hope. Oh, I'll try to remember that, said Little Rabbit, yawning. By the way, said Granny Rabbit, snuggling him close, this was the best karamu ever. Our next holiday story is a celebration of Christmas Eve, and it's called Countdown for Noche Buena. Written and illustrated by Adriana Hernandez Bergstrom. One. Una familia brimming with joy. Two. Dos helpful tios preparing the roast. Three. Tres fancy mesas fully decked out. Four. Cuatro pequeños twist the buñuelos. Five. Cinco turrones are all that's left. Six. Seis platos ricos ready to eat. Seven. Siete muchachos playing a song. Eight. Ocho manitos clapping along. Nine. Nueve jóvenes bounce to the beat. 10. 10 tired niños fall fast asleep. 11 11 viejitos dance bachata. It's almost time for regalos. 12 12 loud dings sing from the clock. Ding, ding, ding. Wake up, wake up. It's time. 11 11 regalos beautifully stacked. 10 10 chiquitines rip and unwrap. 9 9 pedientes clean up the mess. 8 8 zapatos jumbled and piled. 7 7 hot platos packaged to go. 6 6 tired musicos fed well and thanked. 5 5 cortados for the drive home. 4 4 adultos say their farewells. 3 3 sleepy nenes ready for bed. 2 2 sweet besitos love you, good night. 1 Una familia slumbers tonight. Noche buena is holiday fun. Feliz Navidad. Good night, everyone. Here's another story about Hanukkah called Is It Hanukkah Yet? By Nancy Krulik, illustrated by Monique Dong. Today is Hanukkah. I cannot wait to light the candles and play the games. Not yet, says Grandma. We have to wait for the sun to set. Waiting is hard. While we wait, we find my favorite menorah. Hanukkah lasts for 8 nights. We will light 1 candle for each night. Today, I put 2 candles in place. One is for the first night of Hanukkah. The second candle lights the first one. Grandpa fries potato pancakes. We call them latkes. I cannot wait to eat one. Not yet, says Grandpa. We have to wait for the sun to set. Grandma and I are making a surprise for Mommy and Daddy. We sing our special song while we work. I love singing with Grandma. Grandpa tells me the story of the Hanukkah miracle. The Maccabees had oil to light their menorah for only 1 day, but the oil lasted for 8 days. Jingle, jingle. I hear a key in the lock. I run to the door. Daddy is home and Mommy too. I look outside. It is dark. The sun has set, I shout. Is it Hanukkah yet? Daddy gives me a great big hug. It sure is, he says. No more waiting. Grandma lights the candles. I help say the prayers. We play the dreidel game. Whee! All the candy is for me. We sing about a dreidel made of clay. I spin and spin just like a dreidel. Grandma gives me a gift. Wow! It is the music box we play with at her house. Happy Hanukkah, Grandma says. Now you can hear our special song anytime you like. We eat Grandpa's latkes with our Hanukkah dinner. Then it is time for the surprise. Sufganio for dessert. Daddy takes a big bite of a special Hanukkah donut. Squirt! Big glob of jelly lands on his chin, but he licks it right up. Silly Daddy. Do you know what I like best about Hanukkah? Hanukkah lasts for 8 days, so I get to do it all again. I just have to wait for tomorrow. Next, we have a story called The Christmas Story. This is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When Mary saw him, she was troubled at his words and wondered what manner of greeting this could be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy child who shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same country were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly with the angel appeared a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. We have a few minutes left, and I thought we would read some poems about winter and Christmas and the holiday season. This first poem is called Jack Frost by Helen Bailey Davis. Someone painted pictures on my window pane last night. Willow trees with trailing boughs and flowers frosty white and lovely crystal butterflies. But when the morning sun touched them with its golden beams, they vanished one by one. Our next poem is called Winter Morning Poem by Ogden Nash. Winter is the king of showmen, turning tree stumps into snowmen, and houses into birthday cakes, and spreading sugar over lakes. Smooth and clean and frosty white, the world looks good enough to bite. That's the season to be young, catching snowflakes on your tongue. Snow is snowy when it's snowing. I'm sorry it's slushy when it's going. Our next poem is called Thaw by Eunice Tichenis. The snow is soft, and how it squashes. Clump, 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 comb my galoshes. Some of you may recognize this poem as a song. It's called Christmas is Coming. Christmas is coming, the geese are getting fat. Please put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny will do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, then God bless you. Christmas by H.P. Lovecraft. The cottage hearth beams warm and bright. The candles gaily glow. The stars emit a kinder light above the drifted snow. Down from the sky a magic steals to glad the passing year, and belfries sing with joyous peals, for Christmastide is here. Here's our final poem, From Us to You, by Dusty Kallenbeck. It's Christmas time, and I wish you well. May the Lord bless you with the best of health. I hope the stockings are hung and you're filled with wonder. There are so many surprises for you to ponder. May your children be merry when Santa brings toys, some for the girls and some for the boys. I pray you have food and plenty to eat, turkey and gravy and lots of sweets. I hope your family's there, friends and neighbors too. So Merry Christmas from all of us to all of you. We have run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Christy Walters, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Read to Succeed is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.